Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, please don't forget what we're talking about as we've come now to Philemon verses 19 and 20. The subject is obligations of grace, and it is almost startling, even just the title, the theme, obligations of grace. This concept that grace incurs obligations is a rather startling concept to some people until you study it carefully and think it through, as we're trying to help you to do in this study of the book of Philemon. And then when you understand the meaning of what Paul is directly asking for from Philemon, namely he's asking for some financial consideration on the basis of their spiritual relationship, and primarily because Philemon owes his salvation to Paul, humanly speaking, Paul being the one who brought the gospel to him. And on the basis of that, Paul is asking very directly and bluntly that Philemon help him with some financial profit. That's exactly what he says in verse 20, based upon what he said in verse 19. It is a startling concept, but there it is, as plain as the nose on your face, there it is in the book of Philemon. And we're going to continue talking about it on this Tuesday, December 5. Thank you for joining us, and thank you, those of you who recognize that you owe a debt because of grace that has come to you, and particularly if you believe that you've been helped by the teaching ministry, the Beacon Broadcast, and you recognize that that does bring some obligation upon you, and you're willing to help us with the cost of maintaining this program on this station. Thank you so much for your help. Well, what we saw as a gentle nudge in verse 19 becomes a pretty blunt personal request in verse 20. Paul said, "I'm writing to you with my own hand, I will repay," in reference to the debt that Onesimus owes to Philemon that Paul pledges to pay on his behalf. But then he follows it up in verse 19, you remember, by saying, "Not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides." Let me slow down and read that again so you don't miss what he's saying. "Not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides." And what way did Philemon owe himself to Paul? Paul was the one who gave him the gospel. He owed his life, so to speak, to Paul, his spiritual life, his soul, salvation, he owed from a human standpoint to the Apostle Paul, because Paul was the human instrument that God used to bring Philemon into the family of God. Now, on the basis of that, Paul makes a rather blunt personal request in verse 20. "Yes, brother," he said, "let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord." And as we saw in the broadcast yesterday, that phrase, "let me have joy from you in the Lord," is really skirting the issue a bit in the translation. I'm not saying that that's not a possible translation, but I'm saying that's probably not the best one, because this is not the Greek word for joy, chara, but this is the Greek word for profit, the idea of financial profit, selling something and making a profit in the transaction. And that's the word that Paul uses. And the I is emphatic, and so he says, let me have some profit of you. I am asking. He says in verse 20, yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. I am asking you for some profit from you. The I is not even found in my translation, but it's there in the Greek. I want some profit from you. As you have profited others, and I showed you on the broadcast yesterday that that goes back to verse 7 earlier in the epistle, where Paul commends Philemon for refreshing the hearts of the saints with his financial generosity. He had refreshed others. Paul said, now I want you to refresh me. He had profited others. Paul said, now I want you to profit me. Profit. This word profit, remember, is the same Greek word from which the name Onesimus is derived. Remember, the name Onesimus, a common name for slaves, meant profitable. And Paul uses a form of that very same word here when he says, I want some profit from you. Onesimus, who is your slave, was not profitable to you. He ran away. But now that he is a Christian, he is profitable to you. He's coming back. He's going to serve you again. He's going to be profitable to you, both now and in Christ, in a much greater way than he ever was before. So now he's going to return some profit to you. Again, why? Because he came to Christ under the ministry of the Apostle Paul. So here's another line of obligation. Philemon, you owe your salvation to me from a human standpoint. Philemon, you owe the return of your runaway slave to me. He wouldn't be coming back if he hadn't come under my ministry. He who was unprofitable to you would never have been profitable to you if he hadn't come into the sphere of my friendship and gospel testimony, and God used that to bring him to Christ. And now I'm returning to him, and he's now profitable to you. So I have been profitable to you in a lot of different ways. Philemon, how about you profiting me? He's saying, in essence, Onesimus is now your prophet, so now you be my prophet. I mean, really, that's when you're getting right down to the wording in the Greek language, that's just about what Paul is saying here. It's verse 11 where he talked about that earlier, when he said, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. That's speaking of Onesimus. Now he says, Onesimus, who is now your prophet, that's the more literal way to put it, now calls upon you to be my prophet, said Paul. So what is Paul saying here? Let's put it all together. He'd commended him, Philemon, earlier in the epistle for sharing financially with the saints at Colossae, and is highly to be commended for that. He'd refresh the saints by that. So Paul is saying, you have helped and encouraged others with your resources. I, Paul, am asking for a similar financial benefit. And this is a reasonable claim, given the benefit that you have received from me. When you really understand what Paul is saying, you realize this is a bold, direct request for financial consideration. And what Paul is suggesting here, he's not so much asking Philemon to send money to him in Rome. That's what it might have sounded like up until this point. But what is he doing? He is suggesting that Philemon cancel Paul's promissory note, which represents the amount of Onesimus' debt. That's the point. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay whatever it is that Onesimus owes you. I will repay. Not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have some profit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. So I'm suggesting that though I am willing to pay Onesimus's debt in the totality of its monetary value. I'm reminding you of how much you owe me, which is incalculable. There's really no way to figure that out. You can figure out Onesimus's debt because you know how much he stole from you in his getaway, and you know how much he cost you by being away when he should have been serving you and so forth. You can figure all that out. You're a businessman. You can assign actual monetary value to all of these things and figure it up and render an invoice to me that will accurately reflect the debt that Onesimus owes. But I'm asking you for some financial consideration in a debt that you owe that is far greater and is really incalculable. Certainly more than enough to cover Onesimus' debt to you that I am pledging to repay. Now, this is going to open the door for additional requests in verse 22, which we'll get to in another broadcast or two. But all of this is in connection with Paul and Philemon's mutual service for Christ and others. So what do we learn out of all of this? Well, what we have here in Philemon verses 19 and 20 is a timely reminder of a truth that it's so easy for us to ignore, forget, deny, or maybe not even to ever realize until it's brought face to face before us as this is, and that's the relationship between grace and works. We're not saved by works, but I think everybody who understands grace understands that God's grace, the salvation that comes to us as a gift, calls forth from us works, good works, in response to the grace that we have received. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The grace that we have received, Paul makes clear in Ephesians, the text I just quoted from Ephesians 4, but that grace, no, it's Ephesians 2, but that grace obligates us to good works. Now Paul puts some of those good works in the context of monetary gifts, monetary support, financial support, where God has blessed you so that you are able to do that. And that really is the basis for what we call grace giving, if you can understand it. It is material return for spiritual benefit received. Not the legal obligation of Mosaic law, but the spiritual obligation of received grace. Grace received calls for a gracious return. Sometimes when it comes to the matter of giving, the question is, how much should I give? Well, let me ask you another question. How much do you value your salvation? How grateful are you? Because your level of giving indicates something about your level of gratitude. It indicates how much you understand the enormity of your debt to God, how much you value the sacrifice of Christ on your behalf. It's one thing to talk about salvation by grace. It's another to demonstrate that you have received that grace and value that grace. So the bottom line here is, what does your checkbook reveal about your appreciation of God's gracious salvation to you? Good question, all based upon what we learn here in Philemon. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.